Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this day that you've made. Thank you for this church, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your love and mercy for us. Thank you for your living word. Help us to put it more and more in our hearts, Father. I thank you for the talent of these young people. What a great blessing and what a great gift. Lord, we come before you to honor and to bring honor and glory to your name. Uplift our minds and our hearts and our spirits to love you more and more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you could turn your Bibles to Psalm 119. At the top of this Psalm 19, which is the longest psalm in the Bible, at the top you'll see these letters and then words. At least most Bibles have them, okay? And what this is the Hebrew alphabet. Today, we're going to take a little bit of a crash course in the Hebrew alphabet, okay? And the reason is it will fit with the sermon that I'm going to bring to you this day. So what I would ask you to do is I'm going to say the letter, and you just repeat after me. And then I'm going to teach you a real brief song. And if you want to hear that song more, go to Pastor Lowe, because he knows it also. We had the same teacher. So the first letter would be Aleph. And you would say Aleph. Aleph. Bet. Gimel. Gimel. Dalet. He. Vav. Zion. Chet. Tet. Yud. Kaf. Lamed. Mem. Nun. Samek. Ayin. Pe. Sade. Kuf. Resh. Sin, shin, ta. And if my wife would come up now, if you'd flip this paper over, okay, the way I learned the alphabet was singing A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. Well, my problem with that is whenever I want to find a letter, I have to break into a song sometimes. But it is a great way to memorize. Singing is a great way to memorize. So what we're going to do is learn how to sing the Hebrew alphabet, okay? So I'll sing it through once somewhat slowly. If you can join in, please feel free. And then you'll sing it with me the second time, okay? Best you can. Let's see how we go. There's a reason why I had you do that, okay? This psalm celebrates the gift of God's Torah, His covenant instruction, as a perfect guide for life. This psalm has 22 stanzas of 8 verses, each following the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet in sequence. And you can see, hopefully in your Bibles, the letters and the spelling of the letter there. The Jewish people had a great, great awe of Yahweh. They did. His name was Yahweh within the Jewish language. But Yahweh was such a holy name, was so holy that they would never say his name. They didn't think that they had the right to say the name of Yahweh. So what the Jewish people would do is they would spell his name. They would say, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. and they would spell his name instead of saying Yahweh, because they didn't think that they were worthy enough to say his name. Well, the psalmist here has this psalm framed out with each letter above it. And my contention to you is this, that the psalmist knew when he was writing Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. He knew what he was writing. He was writing the name Yahweh. And within this, not that it's some national treasure like secret writing or anything like that, but within this writing, there is a salvation message to us. Now, that shouldn't be surprising, because all of the Bible is a salvation message, that there's a salvation message here. What is salvation? It's believing God and His Word. It's repentance. It's turning from sin to God. New Testament Christians like ourselves, we know, we believe that Jesus is God, that He came to earth. He lived here on this earth. He lived a sinless life. He died for our sins. He didn't remain dead. He rose from the grave. He's a living God. And He didn't leave us alone. He didn't leave us as orphans. He gave us His Holy Spirit to dwell within us and guide us here. It has been said, and I believe this, that there are three components to saving faith. That the three components are the head. You must have knowledge. You must have knowledge of God. You must have knowledge of salvation. You must have knowledge of God's Word. That the Holy Spirit can move in different ways. It doesn't mean that you have to be able to read. God has saved many people who couldn't read. But you still must have some knowledge of who this God is. Head knowledge never saves. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but it doesn't bring salvation. Then that knowledge must descend about a foot to the heart. We must love God. There must be a love for God. There must be a love within our hearts for this God who gave His life for us, for this God who made us and created all things, that there would be love. And then the third component of saving faith is the will. That our will would be to follow Him, to put our faith and trust in Him and follow Him to the best of the ability that we've been given through the power of the Holy Spirit to truly look to Him, cry out to Him, follow Him when we fall, which we will be quick to repent and turn back on the path that He is leading us. The path being the way of salvation, the way of eternal life, the way of truth, the way of being with our God and Savior. What we're going to start with here this day is with Yud. And Yud starts in Psalm 119, and it starts in verse 73. And what I'm going to propose to you this morning is that Yud is mostly, not completely, but mostly dealing with the head, that it is head knowledge. And the Psalm 73, Psalm 119, verse 73, says, "Your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding to learn your commands. May those who fear you rejoice when they see me, for I have put my hope in your word. I know, O Lord, that your laws are righteous, and in faithfulness you have afflicted me. May your unfailing love be my comfort, according to your promise to your servant. Let your compassion come to me, that I may live, for your law is my delight. May the arrogant be put to shame for wronging me without cause. But I will meditate on your precepts. May those who fear you turn to me, those who understand your statutes. May my heart be blameless towards your decrees, that I may not be put to shame." If you look at verse 73, what the psalmist knows here is Your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding to learn your commands. This is creation. You're not an accident. There's not random chance here. You're made by God Almighty, that you were created by the living God who spoke into creation all that exists. The psalmist also understands in verse 74 where his hope comes from. For I have put my hope in your word. You see, I feel painfully sorry for people that go through this world who truly have only hope in themselves, who truly have only hope in what they can inquire and what they can learn and what they can achieve, but then ultimately they bring it all to the grave. But when we hope in God, when our hope, which is an understanding, is in God, we know that we are an eternal people. We will live forever. We will be with our God. Not only are we an eternal people, but we also have, as Christians, the living Spirit of God dwelling in us. So the psalmist talks about, "For I have put my hope in your word." The psalmist also understands in 75, "I know, O Lord, that your laws are righteous." He understood that these words are righteous. And then this next verse, I struggled with a little bit. I think this is fair to say, "And in faithfulness you have afflicted me." I think this Jewish psalmist understood that he couldn't keep the law. Nobody can. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Nobody can. This is why there would be a promise. And the promise would be for a Savior. One who would be greater than the law, which is good. But one who would replace the law. And that Savior would be Jesus Christ. That would be the promise to the Jewish people. This psalmist in verse 76 also understands, "May your unfailing love be my comfort, according to your promise to your servant." We must always remember, the Jewish people kind of lost this a little bit. The promise of God, the promise to Abraham, was always, "All nations on earth will be blessed through you." It was never an exclusivity to the Jewish people. This promise would be for all of us, Jews and Gentiles. The psalmist also in 77 understands here, "Let your compassion come to me that I may live." The compassion of God, "For your compassions are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." It's so important to cling to the compassion of God, for we as people need that compassion greatly. "For your law is my delight." This psalmist delighted in the law. And what would he do? He would meditate it. He would meditate on this law, "But I will meditate on your precepts." Some of you have mothers and fathers who will send you to your room. "Have you done your devotions? Have you done your devotions this morning? Go up and read your Bible." Good. I'm glad they do that. Okay? That's a good thing. But ultimately, it's not about a requirement. It's not about that. It's about a love. It's a desire. It's a meditation. "Lord, speak to me. Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth." God communicates to us through this word. And the more we can begin to love God's word, the more we are guided by God's word, the more we will begin to be able to grow in our understanding of how amazing this God that we serve is. But a lot of that is head knowledge. And again, head knowledge does not save. Head knowledge is super important, but it does not save. The Pharisees knew more Bible verses than I'll ever know in my life. You know, there are many people that know God's word very well, but they do not follow it. They know it. Turn to He. Yud He. This is He. And it starts in verse 33. Okay, He, I'm going to propose to you, is the heart. that this is the heart, that we must love Jesus. They didn't know Jesus yet. They looked to the future to this Savior that would come. But we, as New Testament Christians, we must have a love for Jesus. You will not follow what you do not love. You will not follow what you do not truly love. And this we'll talk about. Where does love come from? Well, you know, most of you, I know many of your parents, praise God, you've experienced love through your parents. But love does not come through your parents, okay? Love can be shown, it can be modeled, it can be demonstrated. Your parents will make mistakes, they will have different issues. Love, they cannot give you a love for God. They can't. As much as they would like to, believe me, I would like to do that for my children. We cannot. Love comes because God loved us first. God loves us first. And that even when we were sinners, He reached down for us. God loved us first on a cross by dying for the sin of the world. God demonstrated His love. The love that we have is given to us by God. From understanding, we begin to understand this love more through His Word, but we understand that He gives it to us. I can't say I can explain all that, but it's very true. The love that we have comes from God. If you are beginning to grasp this love that God has for you, you're beginning to grow in the greatest gift that has ever been given to His creation. You are loved more than you will ever grasp, than I will ever grasp. You are loved far more completely than you will ever even be able to comprehend throughout eternity. You will never be able to comprehend the full love of God that He has for you. This is an amazing, amazing God we serve. God's love for you is what will keep us. It will develop us. It will enable us to love Him. Our love will always be imperfect towards our wives, towards our children, even towards our God. Our love will never be perfect. The only perfect love that you will experience is God's love for you. But praise God that He has that. He starts in 33. And it says, the psalmist says, "Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant, so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. Preserve my life in your righteousness." In verse 34, "Give me understanding, and I will keep your law. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart." This is the beginning of love. To desire that your heart desires to follow Jesus as Lord and Savior. "Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight." This word, this God that we serve, He is not oppressive. He desires for you to delight in Him. So often we sit in our churches and we look like a bunch of grumps or glums or, you know, or passive. Our God is a God of delight. He wants you to enjoy, to love. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It is a delightful thing to know that you are loved by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. "Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain." Guys, you can gain the world, but if you lose your soul, good luck. The reality of it is, Our God wants you to not look to selfish gains, but to turn my eyes away from worthless things. All of the world that you can possess is really not very important. We have, can have, the greatest possession that there is, and that's the living God loving you. Don't go towards selfish gains. Don't look, not that, you know, God wants you to achieve. God wants you to be all that you absolutely can be. But that's not ultimately the goal. The goal is more of Him, understanding more of Him, and desiring more of who our God is. So turn my eyes away from worthless things, and it's the things of the world. Fulfill your promise to your servant. The hymn today is a hymn that touches me in the one line. Prone to wander, Lord, I know it. We have a heart that sometimes we fear, oh, I fear that maybe I'll wander away from God. No, He promises never to leave you, to never forsake you. As we cling to Him, you will see that God is clinging to you. And this take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. God wants you to understand He will preserve you. He will preserve you as you cry out to Him and look to Him. The next spot that I want you to look at is Vav, okay? And Vav starts in your Bibles, at least in my Bible, it says W-A-W. And some people will teach it differently how to say this letter. I was taught Vav that they can't, that the Hebrews had the V sound, not the W sound here. But Vav starts in 41. And what I'm going to propose to you here is that Vav would be the will. Again, we're looking at saving faith. The head, the heart, and the will. And Vav goes on here, and it says, may your unfailing love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I will answer the one who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Do not snatch the word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. I will always obey your law forever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame. For I delight in your commands because I love them. I lift up my hands to your commands, which I love, and I meditate on your decrees. And this aspect of when we love God, when we have a love, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. When we love God, we will want to do His will. Verse 41, may your unfailing love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. And what I'm going to propose to you is, salvation isn't a prayer. Praise God if you've prayed it and you've come to, you know, to it. But, you know, say this prayer. Some people think, say this prayer and you'll be saved. And no, it really isn't that. Salvation is understanding our God. It's understanding what He has done. Salvation is loving our God. Lord, I love you. Lord, it is a understanding that we are sinners. It's a turning from sin. It's a turning to God. And it's a turning to God because what He has done for you, that it is a love relationship between you and your Creator. It's placing not yourself first. It's placing God first. And it's not in an oppressive way. It's in a releasing way. Lord, I love you. That is salvation. And this salvation then will include our will, that we will want to follow Him. The only problem with our will is we don't always follow Him perfectly. We aren't always able to hear Him fully clearly. We won't. But He knows that. He knows you. He knows every hair on your head. He knows everything about you. He wants to lead you closer to Himself. How does He do that? It's because He didn't leave you alone. He, when you have come to saving faith, God gives you His Holy Spirit to dwell within you. The Holy Spirit is a gift of God. It's a gift beyond our comprehension. And that the Spirit of God chooses you now, as the Old Testament tabernacle of the Jews, it chooses to dwell in you. That Spirit will lead and guide you. That Spirit will enable your will to be His will more and more. Look at verse 42. Then I will answer the one who taunts me, for I trust in your word. I believe that the one that is taunting the psalmist is himself. You see, we have an enemy. When you are coming to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, even in salvation, we have an enemy. And it is the enemy within. It is who we were. There is an enemy that dwells within us. There is the spirit, and it's the old self. It's who we were. We are not now. We've called out to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Lord, save me. I repent. I turn from sin. I turn to you. Save me, Lord. He gives you your spirit. But your body is still there. You're still around. Your old ways are still there. People still see you as who you are. And you still will struggle with sin. And a lot of that struggle will come from the enemy within, as well as the satanic and his demons, which are very real also, which is an enemy without. But most of our struggles will come from within. And, oh, you don't have to do that. You don't need to. I mean, we know our struggles. You know, we know that there is an enemy who taunts us. And what this psalmist cries out, this psalmist cries out, and he says, then I will answer the one who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Here's where we turn. We turn to God's word. We turn to God. When Jesus was in the desert and Satan was tempting him, he answered by scripture. He answered by the word of God. This is what we hold on to. We also hold on to our brothers and sisters in the church. We also hold on to prayer. We also hold on to the spirit that is within us, that God will never take away from you. He will never leave you or forsake you. In verse 44, I will always obey your law forever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. And nobody can do this. Nobody can always keep your law. But what the psalmist, I believe, is saying here is, I will keep your law, and when I don't, I will repent, and I will turn back. I will repent and turn to you. I will ask God for forgiveness. After salvation, repentance is probably the second most amazing gift that we as Christians, it's grace. We as Christians, Lord, forgive me. And He will. It's God's grace. It's God's compassion. It's God's love. And this grace is an amazing gift that God gives to us. And He doesn't tire of giving His grace. He loves. God is a giver of grace. He wants you to understand that. But He doesn't want us ever to accept, like Bonhoeffer said, cheap grace. Oh, I'm going to sin and then I'm going to ask for grace. Bonhoeffer, a pastor in World War II, said, cheap grace is a disgrace. If you just rely upon the forgiveness of God, that you go headlong into our sin, and then we rely upon God's grace, that's not grace anymore. That's your loving sin above God. In verse 35, he says, "Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart towards your statutes." It says in verse 46, "I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame." And it's a boldness that God will give you, even if you're shy. And I'm not all that bold, I can tell you. But even if you're shy, God will give you the ability to speak. Because you know that it's important. If a friend is hurting and doesn't know this Lord and Savior, God will give you the words to say. He wants you to be able to speak who He is. And it may not be before kings, it may be before friends or before others. And then in verse 48, "I lift up my hands to your commands, which I love." I urge you, develop a love relationship with the God who loves you. How do you develop a love relationship with God? Meditate on His Word. Come to Him in His Word. Not as a chore, not as a homework and assignment, not as I've read the Bible three times through, but to meditate on His Word, to understand more fully His love for you. And then finally, the name of Yahweh, Yud Heh Vav Heh. We're going to go back to Heh. And my proposal was that Heh is the heart, and it's the heart of love. And it's a repeated, and I'll repeat reading this Heh verse. And it's this heart to love God. And as we love God more and more, we will be able to hear Him more fully, speaking through His Spirit to you. "Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant, so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. Preserve my life in your righteousness." As we call out to Jesus, He hears. What our goal is a personal relationship with this living God who rose from the grave. He is living. He is, if you put your faith and trust in Him, living in you. He is not trying to leave you off somewhere. He wants you to grow closer to Him because it is the greatest gift He could give you. Salvation does come from the head. You do need to understand some things. But salvation is the heart. And as you love God, turning from sin, turning to God, He will give you the power to follow Him. He will give you the ability to follow Him more and more through the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. If you are here today and you do not understand fully salvation, that you're just not sure, talk to Pastor Nathan, talk to Pastor Lowe, talk to the elders and the people in this church. They love God. They will be happy to talk to you. If you have come to saving faith, I urge you, repent and be baptized. It's not optional. Repent and be baptized. If you've come to saving faith, do proclaim your faith to the church. It is very important. It's a command. It's not optional at all. Repent and be baptized. And if you need to learn more about that, Talk to Brother John. Talk over here. You know, be willing to speak. Thank God that we have His living Word. What an amazing gift that God gives us. God with us. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this church. I thank You for these young people. I thank You for Your living Word. Help us to follow You more and more. Lord, You are worthy. Help us to love You more and more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. One last thing. If you're in high school or junior high school, on January 6th, maybe, Lord willing, I'll be able to come and speak to you about it. I will be going to Cambodia from January 6th to January 16th, very quickly, teaching English, okay, and looking at a school. I will probably, Lord willing, be able to come to the high school and speak to you about what this trip is about, why are we going there, and share with you a little bit more about what that would be. But what I will mostly ask for is I'll contact John or I'll contact Nathan. I will ask for your prayers while I'm there. I treasure your prayers, and I would appreciate your praying for me on that trip, because I do get nervous. And so, thank you very much.